From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional. And in the summer of 1984, a call came in to the volunteer rescue team in the Shetland Islands village of Aith. A man rowing alone in a small boat was in trouble in the sea below the cliffs.
2 hours later, the boat was found. The occupant was absolutely exhausted, boat taking water, and he did not know where he was. Being only 1 mile from the rocks, another hour would have been disastrous.
Unfictional is a program of true stories, personal documentaries, and radio movies. And on this episode, The Rowing Man, a story written by the Danish producer Ricky Hood about finding a village full of friends, even when you're rowing alone across a ferocious sea.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I am fine, and I'm very happy to be together with you. You are some of the most beautiful people I ever have met in my life.
I might have taken on arm wrestling in the social club.
Soon he's arm wrestling all the men in the social club.
He arm wrestled a lot of the men because obviously he'd rowed so far. He was fit and he was strong.
The remote Shetland Islands, 110 miles from the Scottish mainland, a place where the old world is still the present. The dialect and the culture is halfway Nordic, halfway Scottish. And you'll hear several people in the story speak the Scottish use of the phrase, I mind, to mean the same thing as I remember. As in, I mind the story of the rowing man. From KCRW, it's Unfictional.
The North Atlantic. It's morning, late summer in 1984. Endless sea. Grey blue water and a clear blue sky. On this quiet morning, the waves form a huge rolling floor, up, down, up, down. They've travelled far to get this big. They've had space to swell. Long rolling waves. And in those waves, a tiny dot. It's a rowing boat. It's drifting. It looks empty, but it's not. There's a man on board and a cat. The man is resting. He has secured the oars and wiggled himself into the narrow sleeping space in the bow. He's been rowing under the stars all night. He does that every night. Watches out for big container ships. But now the sun has risen, the man is sleeping, the cat is curled up at his feet. He hasn't been sleeping for long though, when he's awakened by strange tremors. A feeling of something big bouncing against the side of the boat. Just on the other side of the thin wooden shell that keeps him afloat in these deep, deep waters. He pops his head out really carefully and then he sees it. Black, glistening skin adorned with barnacles, a humpback whale, and it is rubbing itself against his little boat. Two dots in the North Atlantic. One dot is bigger, that's the whale. Time has disappeared. He just sits there. And then the humpback puffs. It lowers itself and slowly, slowly disappears in the dark blue. And the rowing man can continue his adventure.
Hello?
This is a story about the rowing man.
Hello?
Oscar Victor Eco.
A man by the name of Ove Jonsson. It is a story about traveling the ocean, the real ocean, and the ocean of chance.
Oh, you know what I could see right now? I could say a little dolphin. She's right behind me here.
On that ocean, things don't always happen the way you planned. On that ocean, you will sometimes get lost. And sometimes you might meet a whale, a dolphin, a friend.
A little dolphin! She's swimming around the boat right now.
Maybe even a village of friends.
Beautiful. You should see it.
And a dolphin. It is a story about a young fisherman and sailor from the tiny Faroese island Nólsoy, who in 1984 set out to row all the way from the Faroe Islands to Denmark to kiss the little mermaid.
I am heading for Denmark.
More than 800 miles across two very rough seas. Alone, no sail, no engine, just him, his bare hands.
I'm a bit tired in my hands, over.
And well.
He had a cat with him.
He had a cat that someone had given him for company.
I hope the weather keeps nice for you.
Most people would call what Ove did a bad idea.
I am not a big ship. I am just a little rowing boat from the Faroe Island heading for Denmark.
Madness, the old seaman back home thought. And that's not odd. The North Atlantic is fierce and has claimed many a father, husband, son, and brother.
There's a very dangerous piece of water here.
The Shetland Islands, overlooking the North Atlantic.
It's a wild, wild bit of water.
Mark Kevin Henry's words. It's a wild bit of water.
We've been up here a few times and then we rescued people from here.
We're next to the Esheness Lighthouse. Don't walk too close to the edge. It's a long, steep fall, and down there are sharp, pointed rocks and currents and waves that meet land the first time since they left America.
There's nothing between us and America, so... This here, this was where Ovi was, out here.
This place feels like the edge of the world. The first land Ovi would have seen after a week of Rome. Less than a third of the way to Copenhagen. Still so far to go.
You can see a tanker out there. Heading for Sullomvo.
A tanker in the far distance, heading for the oil terminal, Sullomvo. And Ove was somewhere out there too, in 1984.
That's roughly about a mile offshore here, is where we picked him up. But as you can see, this here is filled with cliffs and rocks and the whole lot. And that's where he would have drifted into if we'd left him. Nobody would survive in here in a small boat. A beautiful place on a beautiful day, but oh boy, it's a wild, wild by the water on a poor day. Poor, poor day.
July 1984. If the lighthouse could speak, it would say, I saw a tiny dot approaching in those huge waves. A man in a rowing boat.
He was very, very tired, very exhausted.
The boat is damaged.
He was lucky.
He's a lucky man. The volunteer rescue team from the small village of Aith have spotted him.
We came from down there. That's Aith, down there.
Yeah.
And he was rowing down the way, and we came up the way and met him. He was very happy to see us.
He's so happy to see them.
But he was very, very tired, very exhausted.
He doesn't want to leave his boat.
He wants to stay aboard his own boat, and we would tow him.
They tow him into the safe of the narrow bay.
And as we come up in Aith Vaux, he was so happy that he got his accordion out and he started to play as we towed him into Aith.
Black silhouettes in the summer evening. A rowing boat being towed into Aith. The happy sound of an accordion bouncing as a soft echo between the green hillsides. A stranger arriving on the ocean of chance to a village on the edge of the world. Houses on soft green hillsides in the safe of a narrow bay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Good.
Hi. 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 Hi.
8th lifeboat station. Kevin Henry has gathered some of the crew that rescued this stranger back then, over 30 years ago.
Wilfred.
Wilbert.
Hello, Wilbert.
Yes, I'm Wilbert Clark. I was the skipper on the lifeboat the night that we went out to the rescue of
him. I'm Victor Gray. I was crew. We rescued him alive and got him in here. And so he was very, very tired.
Wilbert Clark.
Tied him up to a pier.
And Victor Gray.
Everybody was happy.
And the rest of the crew. They got him in, tied his boat to the pier.
Once we got him at the pier, he had a bit more life in him. We were so happy to get to the pier. He came ashore and...
He
went up to the mechanic's house, spent the night there.
He came ashore, stayed with the boat mechanic and his family.
He stayed, well, it was 3 weeks to begin with.
Ended up staying there for a while.
You could play the accordion.
Here's the book.
A thick book of rescues.
82, 83. Yeah. Larvik Coast Guard formed that a boat with one man on board, rowing from Faroe, was in a state of exhaustion northwest of 8th, perhaps near Aishinnes, but he did not know his position. 2 hours later, the boat was found. The occupant was absolutely exhausted, boat taking water, and he did not know where he was. Being only 1 mile from the rocks, another hour would have been disastrous. What became of the casualty? Towed into it and tied up the pier and was taken to the mechanic's house, where he stayed until the weather is suitable and boat fixed. He intends rowing to Denmark. Can anybody mind who fixed the boat?
Does anyone remember who fixed the boat?
Yeah, she damaged in the stem. Yeah.
It was damaged in the stem.
Mostly around the waterline. Mm-hmm.
No, we're Ali Manson, the late Ali. I think so. Well, he was maybe there too.
The old rescuers try to recall the details, and as they do, June and her daughters Lynn and Ingrid walk in. A stranger has arrived in a tiny rowing boat on the big wild ocean that more or less governs everything here.
He was probably a bit of a novelty to us living in this small community.
He's a novelty, a fresh breath.
A foreign man, rowing, blonde hair, unusual accent.
I might have standing on a table in the old social club and playing a beautiful music.
He plays the accordion and sings in his mother tongue, Faroese.
His own tongue, his own language.
Yeah, it was lovely.
But it was beautiful, yeah. Yeah.
I might have taken on arm wrestling in the social club.
Soon he's arm wrestling all the men in the social club.
He arm wrestled a lot of the men. Because obviously he'd rowed so far, he was fit and he was strong.
He takes the kids out on adventures in his boat.
All the bairns would come down and he would show us the kind of food he would eat when he was at sea.
Lights the little stove way out on the water, opens a can and heats it.
And I mind him opening cans of food and warming them up on a pretty stove way off.
Serves dried whale meat and blubber, speck.
Dried whale meat, blubber.
Spick.
The stranger who came by way of the ocean is not so much of a stranger anymore.
Isn't you the cat?
Yeah, yes,
the cat. The cat, please.
The cat is there.
Nor is his cat.
Jessica is the name of the cat.
Yeah.
I mind the black and white cat in the boat.
Yeah, black and white.
I mind.
You should have stayed in the boat because of quarantine.
Jessica is supposed to be in quarantine. But they smuggle her into the lifeboat shed.
And just put them in the shade. They sneak them ashore and put them in the shade.
So yeah. Was it hard to choose a track? I bet it was.
No.
You've got, which one have you gone for?
This is Never Forget by Take That.
This is the old house.
A little white house on the slope. Wind crooked trees in the garden overlooking the bay. A couple of white sheep against the green on the other side of the water.
This house stands on the east side of the Vaux of Aeth, where the lifeboat is stationed. And this is the boat that all of you have towed up. And came in right to the bar there. So.
When Ove had been towed into Aeth, this is where he stayed. The lifeboat mechanic Jimmy, who took the stranger in, passed away not long ago, many years after his wife Carrie. The house is almost empty now.
And there's the kitchen area.
The kitchen, a calendar from last year on the wall, empty shelves, through a small hall, wallpaper, lighter where the picture frames used to hang, up the stairs. It's empty here too.
This was his bedroom.
This used to be Ove's bedroom.
They were there too, fixing the boat. And then, of course, the whole weekend was spent partying.
They were a day or two fixing the boat, and then the weekend was spent partying.
He liked to party, all right. He would want to get hold of an accordion and play music.
A stranger came to town over 30 years ago. He was on his way to Copenhagen. He brought a cat and an accordion.
He played in a very strange key.
He played in a strange key.
I mind learning this tune that he played.
He taught 7-year-old Ingrid a tune.
We should have recording somewhere him playing.
There is a cassette tape in a drawer here somewhere, overplaying the accordion, talking.
Hello everybody, how are you? I am fine, and I feel fine, and I'm very happy to be together with you. You are some of the most beautiful people I ever have met in my life. I am doing this trip to prove that I am a Viking son, and I want to go back to the place where the Vikings were coming from. I'm going to Denmark. The Vikings were coming from Denmark, and they were coming from Sweden, and they were coming from Norway to find other countries, other islands. And on their way, they found Shetland. And this is where I am now, in Shetland, and I am happy to stay here. I am the first person in the history of the Faroe Islands which have rowed between Shetland alone on a boat 21 feet long. It was not the meaning, but now I'm happy I did stop here. And here I am. Well, I meet such nice people here. I feel like I'm one of their family. And I probably is, if you go far back to the Viking time. I want to say you thank you very much for everything what you have done to me. And I'm happy to play accordion for you. And you look like you like it.
Yes, very much, fine.
And, well, I am here between you. I like to be between you. It's like to be in my home, in the Faroes. You are like my parents, my sisters and brothers. I would like to stay here for good. But I have to go on. So I have to get my boat. I have to get my boat to Copenhagen.
Yes, you're
thirsty. Yeah, I want to make my boat completely ready today, but I didn't make it. You understand why?
We
had such a big party last night, and I did have a hangover this morning. Yeah, I was very thirsty when I wake up.
A day become 2 days and two become three and four. Another picnic in the boat way, way out on the bay. One more party and then another. A carefree moment. The weeks go by. He stays just a little too long because he's no longer a stranger. Because it's a good place to be. Because the ocean can be overwhelming. And one day it's just too late to continue rowing towards Copenhagen, even if you wanted to.
It's getting late in the year and the weather was breaking up, so.
The first autumn storms swirl up the sea. The Copenhagen Welcome Committee are no longer on hold. The mayor was ready to greet all the by the feet of the Little Mermaid, puts his speech in the drawer, and Ove turns around and travels home to the Faroe Islands with his boat Diana Victoria on the ferry.
He eventually, I think, went got the boat taken across to Lerwick. He went back home to Faroe and to Narona.
End of adventure for now.
From KCRW, it's Unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson, and this is the story of the rowing man. And coming up, Uwe tries again. Back in a moment.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson, and you're listening to Unfictional and a story from producer Ricky Hood called The Rowing Man.
The little island, Nolsoy, the Faroe Islands. About 200 people live here. One is Ba, Ove's brother. A sailor and a fisherman too. He's sitting with a friend on an old stone fence in the little village near the harbour. He's wearing his sun-bleached cap and big rubber boots. Ba tells about his brother, who couldn't sit still for long. His brother, who followed his nose and traveled the world as a sailor and a fisherman, like many before him. But Ove did it his way. He was 12 when he bought his first boat, 14 when he went to sea. And from that point, that's how he lived.
Yeah, yeah.
He would sail away and come back, sail away and come back. He was restless. He drank too much at times and got himself into a lot of trouble. But the moment he put out to sea, it all just seemed to come together. He could read the waves, the currents, the stars, the wind. He knew exactly what he was doing. That winter in 1984, after returning on the ferry from the Shetland Islands, he took hire on a boat fishing salmon in the North Atlantic. And with the spring and early summer, he prepares to leave again. He gets a sponsor, fans, presents for the journey. There are some harsh words too. I hope someone smashes that boat in 1,000 pieces, an old boat builder says. That will save your family from all the sorrow you're about to cause them. It's an old pain, a complicated relationship. The sea's like a being here, embracing these islands. The sea is why people have survived here. The sea is why people have lost loved ones. The sea is not to be fooled with. Why would anyone do this just to kiss the Little Mermaid? But Ove has to go. It's late July 1985. Once again, thousands have gathered in the harbour of Tórshavn to wave goodbye, family and friends, accordion music, and the harbour is full of boats. And once again, someone gives him a cat for company. No one remembers who or why. And then he takes off. He passes Thinganes, where the old Vikings met. It stretches into the sea. He passes the Nólsoy lighthouse, known as the Tower at World's End. There's still radio contact with land. He listens to the weather report and some music.
Hello?
He calls his mother over the radio. All is good, Mum. I'm fine. After a few sea miles, he no longer has radio contact, and the waves rise around him like walls. He's out there, the big deep sea. Whales, dolphins, birds, container ships passing him in the dark under the stars. A touch of cold in the air. After 10 days of rowing, he sees a familiar coastline, the Shetland Islands, and radio contact is back.
Hello, Shetland Coast Guard, Diana Victoria.
Coast Guard Victoria, coming to Scotland. Yes, good evening, Harvey, good evening.
He calls the Coast Guard to give his position.
Good evening, sir, good evening. I just want to give my position.
Then he calls again.
Hello there, Diana Victoria, over.
And again.
Diana, Victoria.
It's not an emergency call.
Good afternoon again.
He just wants to talk. No alarm.
Good afternoon again, sir.
That afternoon, the phone also rings in the White House on the Green Hill, where Orm stayed the summer before. After many days alone at sea, he just longs to talk to a friend. It's Carrie who answers.
Okay, how are you?
And as she does, Andy and his dad, Jimmy, drive over the hill in their old tractor.
Me and my father were just coming in through that gate up there. We allow the peat for the burning in the winter.
They've been fetching peat for heating.
My mother was talking to Ovi.
And his mom is chatting to Ovi. Serious faces in picture frames on the wall behind her. Ovi tells her he's tired but determined. He left a little too late this year again. Autumn is coming, but I'll make it, he says. Carrie looks down over the bay as he speaks, and then she sees it too.
The maroons went off.
The maroon has gone off down on the harbour, assigned to all members of the volunteer rescue team. A boat is in distress.
And we abandoned the tractor there and headed for the boat.
So Andy and his dad leave the tractor on the hill and jump into the car and head for the lifeboat rescue station. Carrie says to Ove,
I think they're coming for you. He says, I have not sent for anyone.
But I have not sent for them, he says.
And she says, well, I doubt the Coast Guard is getting fed up with you. So they'll be with you in about an hour and a half. So darkness was coming down and he was feeling tired. And he would just, they said, no, go and get them.
He doesn't want to be rescued. He just wants to chat. But all that calling worries the Coast Guard.
He'd been chatting to the Coast Guard every 10, 15 minutes for the, and I think that he was really losing faith in himself. They thought, look, with the tides turning and darkness coming down, and it would be much safer just to go and get him.
Night is coming. The tide is coming. Bad weather is coming. At least he can rest one night in Aith, they figure. They'll be with you in a couple of hours, Carrie says, and puts down the phone in the little white house on the Green Hill.
Papa Stewart, that's a small island here on the west side of Shetland. This is a very small inlet here called West Burford.
This can be quite wild out here.
There's just nothing. It's just clear. It's just open sea. So if you get that direction of wind, it's just, you might as well be in the middle of the ocean.
A crisp summer evening. The rescue team find him near the Ireland Papa store. He doesn't want to be rescued, but he's so happy to see his friends again.
And then he starts shouting, I am home.
A sheep lifts its head and sharpens its ears as the boat is towed into the bay. A voice echoing between the hills. I am home. I am home. Sounds travel far in the northern summer night. Over the rowing man is about to return to Aith, the little village on the edge of the world. Saved once again by the same little rescue team.
And the second time you were there too, right?
I was on the lifeboat, yeah.
Yeah. Does it happen often that you rescue the same person two times?
No, not really, no. It can, but it's rare.
I think he was glad to get back here, I think.
He never came ashore that time. He stayed in the boat. The other time he came ashore and stayed here, but...
I am home, he shouts, as he reaches Aith Harbour. But he doesn't go ashore, no. He stays in the boat, ready to continue. He will not set foot on land.
He stayed on the boat, yes. He never came ashore. Yeah, never ever. So he wanted to see people, but we would have to go to him.
I would go off after tea, like with... We have half a dozen eggs or tobacco or whatever you want.
Ove would stay in the boat and his friends would come to him with eggs, tea, tobacco.
Did he party less the second time?
Oh, yeah.
Much less partying this time. He was ready to continue. He just waited for the weather to clear.
Not better organized the second time.
Yeah.
Did he have his cat both times?
No.
Was his cat the second time?
No, I'll line carry with the cat.
Yes.
I think that was the...
That's the first time you stood in. And I think the second time you stood in... I think the second time you stood in was a different cat. But the...
He had the cat on board the boat with him. I didn't see it personally, but I think my boys maybe saw it.
It was quite unique to have a cat on a boat,
yes.
Because that was, in our culture, maybe quite unlucky.
That's right.
Like in our culture, you wouldn't want a cat near your boat.
You wouldn't even mention the word cat.
No, you
on
don't
a boat.
Say.
If, no.
A, if you were going to your boat and a cat walked there, you wouldn't say the word. Mm-mm.
No.
There are little pockets of old time here.
I can't remember the cat's name. I only heard about the mysterious cat. And
the old sea rules, the old sea language from the age of the Vikings, still here.
In the very old days, there was what they called a taboo language. And some words you did not say at sea for fear of offending the old gods, probably.
Words you do not speak. The word cat. Is one.
In the sea language, you did not want cats around, and you did not say cat at sea. That was the wrong word. But I think the time that he went straight to Denmark, he didn't have a cat.
Poor weather kept Ove waiting in his boat for 3 weeks, until he had to give up and return again to the Faroe Islands on the ferry. End of adventure again. On Ove's third attempt of rowing from the Faroe Islands to the feet of the Little Mermaid in Copenhagen, Denmark, the following summer, in 1986, he passed the Shetland Islands. There was no cat on board this time. He didn't go ashore.
I just want to tell you goodbye before I go too far away from you.
He called his friends in Aith as he passed, but not for long.
I'm about 20 miles already south of Lerwick. Over. Yes, it's going fine. It's beautiful weather. I will try all my best. Maybe in 2 weeks I'm in Denmark. I hope so. Then I come back for holiday and see you.
Just heard it. He sails past Shetland and he...
Oh, lovely, Ovi. Oh, I do wish you all the best.
He continued rowing and rowing and rowing.
He just went right from Faroe right to Denmark in one go, which was quite an achievement. Just one man in a rowing boat.
After a while, he could no longer stretch his fingers. He finally made it to Denmark. After 41 days, tens of thousands greeted him at the foot of the Little Mermaid. The celebrations would never end. He got a bit lost after a while, his sister says. He should have gone to sea again.
Yeah.
He always found himself again at sea, traveling between lighthouses and sometimes going ashore in a friendly place.
Did make lots of friends while he was here, living in Aith for the times that he had to be land-bound.
And you as a radio reporter, did you report on him?
We did report on it. It wasn't I who did it. We probably sent one of the boys that could sail, but I remember hearing all about him. And I remember how sad everybody was when he was lost.
In the early winter of 1987, a year after he made it to Copenhagen, Ove fell from his boat on a quiet, quiet night not far from Nolsøy. Not a wind moved. The sea was like a mirror.
Mm-hmm. We're very sad about his passing and how it happened.
There was a real grief that he'd gone, because I think people had gotten attached to the idea of Ove Jonsson and his mad escapades.
He'd become to be like family, you know.
Ove the rowing man, a stranger who came by way of the ocean and was soon no longer a stranger.
This plaque was erected in memory of Ove Jonsson, who was drowned at the Faroes in November 1987.
A plaque in a stone wall in the harbour in Aith tells the story of Ove.
Ove rowed his boat Diana Victoria from Tórshavn to Copenhagen in 1986. On two previous attempts, he was towed in by the Aith lifeboat, where he made many friends in Shetland.
His mum was still alive then, and I had her address and all, and I wrote to her.
June writes Ove's mother a letter. I'm sorry for your loss. And one day the phone rings and June answers. Ove's mother, Olafina, is passing on the ferry. It stops for a little while in the Shetland Islands, and Olafina wonders if some of Ove's friends from Aith would maybe meet her.
Ove's mum was there, and it was just so lovely to meet her. So we couldn't speak to each other as such. She didn't speak English, but we cuddled, and it was just so lovely. And she was awful happy to meet us.
Ove's mother does not speak English. June and her just hug. A few years later, a group from Aith travelled to Nolsøy.
This was coming into Nolsøy.
They meet his family.
This was Ove's cousin, Hilmer. Ove's mother, Olafina.
He met beside the pier and we went up to the school.
The Nolsøy school children sing a Faroese hymn.
I think the Hymen Faroese, yeah.
They walk to the graveyard. It's on a hill overlooking the ocean.
Well, it was good to see it.
And they put flowers on Ove's grave.
It's kind of lonely. He wasn't like... We saw him here full of life and that and then going and then he wasn't. He was in the churchyard, yeah.
You have been listening to a story about Ove, the rowing man. A story about travelling the ocean, the real ocean and the ocean of chance. On that ocean, things don't always happen the way you planned. On that ocean, you will sometimes get lost. Sometimes you might meet a whale, dolphin, a friend, maybe even a village of friends.
I belong to an island. My name is Ove, like Oscar Victor Echo. Ove Jonsson. From Nolsøy, Faroe Island. That's my address. And anybody of you are very welcome to come and visit me in the barrels.
And we say the letter Q. We put on the letter growing men, Pharaoh, and find you.
If we write a letter to the rowing man, the Faroe Islands, will it find
you? Of course, yes. Because I'm the only person who have rowed between the Shetlands and the Faroes. Alone, in a small boat like my boat. You only have to put the rowing man from the Faroe Island. That's all you have to put on the address. It will reach my home for sure.
This story was recorded and told by me, Rikke Holt. I also edited and made the sound design. A huge thank you to Ove's family and friends, and a very special thank you to his friends in Aith.
It's Unfictional, and that was the story of The Rowing Man, produced by Ricky Hood. I'm Bob Carlson, and coming up on the next episode of Unfictional.
I have your latest letter in front of me, February 9th.
A man is cleaning out a family house when he finds an old reel-to-reel tape.
I work here at General Electric here in Allentown, and a woman that works aside of me, I'm on the assembly line.
You know, it just sounds old. Then
as she went through the trees, and she could see this object.
Starts mentioning stuff that I hadn't thought about it in a long time.
Humanoids come out of the object, and they were not green, but they were a sort of grayish in color.
The Fantastic True Stories of the Shaver Mystery. It's an episode called The Philosophy of Flying Saucers. Next time on Unfictional. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Bob Carlson, the producer of Unfictional. Chrissy Barker provided vital production help, sings, and plays the musical saw. Theme music by Alex Weston, with music help from Joe Augustine and Narrative Music. The managing producer of the program was Carla Green. I'm Bob Carlson. Please join me next time for Unfictional from KCRW.